Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's better, HELP.com/ghost stories.
Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It started out like any other summer day, when a mother brings her children along to the home she's contracted to clean. She's startled to discover the story behind the large abandoned building next door. A story of terror and pain, unearthed by her children as they rummage through the remains of what was once a World War I prisoner of war camp. Are the tormented souls of those once captured and held there, still lurking in the dark, crying to be let free? That's what we find out today on another horrifying episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. If you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And leave us a review over there on Apple Podcasts. I greatly appreciate that. If you want even more content, like access to the world's largest archive of ghost stories, that's what we have, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever put together. And get that at ghostpodcast.com or on our Patreon page, patreon.com/realghoststories. With it, you also get a brand new bonus episode every week. We call them EPP bonus episodes for our extra podcast people. That's what you are when you sign up. You also get all sorts of other advanced episodes, all of it commercial free, no ads. You can binge away on the latest episodes, the bonus stuff, all commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
You know, one of the things I enjoy besides working with you on this podcast and talking ghosts and all that kind of stuff is the listeners of this podcast are so cool. They reach out occasionally and, you know, they'll tell me a story that they've got going on, or maybe if they've got a question about investigating or whatever, they'll reach out.
Yeah.
And yesterday I got, somebody reached out to me, was talking more about like being, in radio or being in announcing and all that kind of stuff. But it quickly turned to, hey, I got some pictures I want you to see.
Oh, God.
And they were ghost pictures, of course.
Oh, thank God. Did they preface it with, I have some ghost pictures? Or did they just start with, I've got some pics?
By this point, I realized that they were cool and I didn't have to worry about that kind of thing. So it didn't scare me too much. But he shared three pictures. And I can't really describe it all that well, other than it looked like taking a picture out of a window, looked like a house or a barn in the background. But what was really interesting is in three different pictures, what looks like some sort of face manifesting in front of the window. And in the last pic, I have to be honest with you, it is pretty freaky.
Really?
Like, to me, the first time I saw it, I thought of Reagan from The Exorcist.
Oh.
And I said, well, who do you think this is?
Yeah.
And he said, I think it's my mom.
Reagan?
And then he sent a picture of his mom.
Uh-huh.
And if you take away the gruesomeness of what I was seeing in this picture, it actually looks like his mom.
Oh, wow.
So I've got some people I'm going to be sending the pictures to and kind of take a look at it and do a little research on them and that kind of thing. But maybe we'll find out that this guy's mom had visited him. It apparently was not long after she had passed away.
Wow. Well, bravo to you for taking the time to be able to see those things. Because when I get them, I look at them and I'm like, I don't see shit. I type back.
Normally I don't. Like, I'll be pretty honest with you. If you tell me, hey, what's this? I'll say it's a bug. Okay.
Yeah.
But this really stood out, and it was in. Yeah. If I sent this picture to you, I know that you would see the face in it.
Send it to me. I do want to. Yeah. Send it. Can you send it while we're on the air? Can you send it through Skype or Messenger or something?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll send it through Messenger.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I want to see it because I'd be curious. Because there are some that I see that, and those are some that have been on like little video series I did years ago on here called Seeing Ghosts. And there was a lot of interesting ones there. Some of the most compelling ones were the ones that I said, where's the ghost? they're like, the person in the picture. Like, what do you mean the person in the picture? And it's like, that person was not there. I was taking a picture. One was like a subway in Europe, I believe. And it's like, I was just taking a picture of the way the artwork was, or the architecture is the word I'm looking for. And I'm like, oh, okay. Cause it was a really neatly set up shot. And then there's this person standing. She's like, there's no way that person was there. I was making sure no one was in the shot on purpose. And yeah. So, I mean, those have been really, really interesting. I'm not good at seeing a lot of things. People are like, look in this corner, and it's kind of, you know, a little bit garbly, or what. And I'm like, I don't know. I think this. I think people that have a certain sensitivity can pick those things up better than those of us who do not.
I do too. And the other thing is that I will always side on, it could be something else. Yeah. Always. Mm-hmm. Even in this situation, I sent it to a couple of people and I'm like, what do you see? And you know, every one of them was like, oh, I see this face, you know, blah, blah, yeah. blah. So, but if they would have said, I don't see anything, it would have thrown a little bit of disbelief in my brain. Just because I trust what they have to say. This was just a very interesting set of pictures. I sent you one, the one that's most prevalent with the face.
Face is in the bottom, right?
You see it? It's kind of like laying on its side a little bit. You see it?
Yeah, I think I see it.
So in the like the lower left hand corner. No, that's not actually the picture. If you look over in the like in the lower left hand corner, there's almost like a red eye.
Okay.
And then it looks like the head is tilted.
Oh, I do see it.
You see the nose then?
Yeah. Now it's getting creepy.
Yeah. Right. And see what's on the forehead? It almost looks like some sort of like slash or gash up there.
It looks evil. It like if so, if I saw that, I wouldn't be like, that's my mom. But I mean, depending on the day,
it does look kind of rough. It does look kind of rough.
It does. So then you saw the mom picture and it looked like
the nose was almost, it was eerily the same. Yeah.
Oh, how did mom die?
She had breast cancer.
The one in this picture did?
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit. What? Now I really see it.
See?
Oh, see? My God.
You can see the mouth there too, can't you?
Oh, my God. I totally see it now. I was looking at the red eye, and I was thinking it was facing the oh my God. Yeah, that's really creepy. Wow. That is. Uh-huh. ask him if we can share this.
I think he'd be okay with it, okay. But I will ask him before we do that. But yeah.
Oh, wow. I normally do not, it was like those 3D dot pictures that used to be in the center of the mall in like 1992, where you stare at them and then suddenly you just see it. That's how that was for me. Remember, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what all of a sudden it was like, boom, I can see it and I can't unsee it now. Oh, wow.
And I think, you know, again, part of the story might be a little garbled. Maybe it's not out a window. Maybe it's a picture of a photograph that was taken and this is where it manifests. I don't know. It's something similar to that. But that face stood out to me and I was like, wow.
That it's like one eye is red and one eye isn't. And it's interesting because where it looks like there's like scarring is over by the eye that's red.
Yeah.
Is it good and evil? Is it this? Oh, that's creepy.
It's a creepy damn picture. And I don't know, you know, when I go to bed at night, I think I'm going to be thinking about it.
I know. I don't know that I can't unsee that. I'm just going to take it off my browser, though. That was, wow. That one was weird. Okay. Well, watch our Facebook page and Instagram for that once we can get permission to post it, because that's a very interesting one. That's probably one of the best ones I've seen, honestly. The way it popped out and just so 3D. I mean, if it's a fake, bravo on that too. But I don't know. I think it feels to me like it's probably something.
So. I will send you the photos leading up to that one so you can actually see it kind of manifesting before it gets to that point.
Yeah.
And then if he'll approve it, I'll send a picture of his mom as well because he sent that to me.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'd be very curious. Wow. Back to our conversation in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today. Love these guys. Love that this even exists. They've really kind of repaved the way in this area of the world. BetterHelp. Life can be overwhelming, to put it lightly. And many people myself included, get burned out. You go and get that way without even knowing it sometimes, especially if you're just going and going and going. You sometimes lose track of it. Symptoms can include lack of motivation, feelings of helplessness, being trapped, detached, fatigue, more. There's a lot. A lot that can add up, and eventually you kind of go, oh, there's something going on here. Guess what? There is, but there's ways of pulling yourself up and pulling yourself out. You don't have to sit in those holes forever going, well, that's just me. No, it's not just you. You can get a hold of that with some help. It really, really does work, and it really, really can help. When you talk to somebody, BetterHelp is there to help you do it. We associate work burnout with work. We associate with so many things. Obviously, it goes beyond work. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feel burned out. You love your kids, that can burn you out too. BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. You're only going to be good for everybody in your crew if you are good yourself. I always believe that. Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life and help you provide solutions, some methods, some ideas, some ways of thinking about things a little bit better. Half of that is that. It's putting things into a different perspective, a different prism than the one you're looking through. And then when you start doing that, you find like, why did I never do this before? Why was I stuck? It's like, because we do that, because we're humans. BetterHelp can help you on that journey of getting yourself where you want to be mentally. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Real Ghost Stories Online listeners get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/ghoststories. That's BetterHelp.com/ghoststories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story of the day on today's episode. It says, before I get to my story, I just wanted to say I absolutely adore your podcast, and you make working on my own not feel so lonely. So this is the story of my only experience. This is the first time I've told anyone about this. And since I have had an interest in all things paranormal, this happened when I was 10 or 11 years old. I come from a large family with 5 siblings, and we used to live in a housing estate just outside a village in Somerset, England. It was summer, and my mom had asked me and my older brother to take my 3 younger brothers for a walk while she cleaned the house. Living in the country, there were many places we could go. Our favorite walk would be to go up to the abandoned mansion next to the estate. It had been rumored to be haunted as it's extremely old. It was built in the 1700s and used as a prisoner of war camp in World War I, later to be a hospital for World War II, and then a hospital for handicapped children. We started walking and talking and messing around as children do. We'd take it turns to push our younger brothers in their chair. We started walking again after stopping to look at the cows in the field of the property. It was a warm day, no wind, a lovely, lazy, sunny day. We had passed the farmhouse that was halfway up the large drive to the mansion. We heard a scream. It seemed it was the neighborhood children playing in the woods nearby and just continued to walk. We reached the top of the hill and started to explore near the mansion. I've always wanted to go inside, but something kept telling me to keep out. I can look, but not enter. We were raised as Jehovah's Witnesses, and so we were told not to believe in ghosts, that all ghosts are demons trying to trick us. This place was huge, gorgeous old English mansion. Stone pillars, outbuildings used when it was a hospital, surrounded by fields and trees. Glanced up to the top floor window at the left and saw a figure looking down. I tried to get my brother's attention and wanted to show him, but when I looked back, it was gone. We played for a while, and I suddenly got this bad feeling that we needed to go. I'm naturally a timid person, so my older and younger brothers started teasing me about being scared when one of the windows smashed. No one had thrown anything. The youngest brothers were asleep in their pushchair, and we suddenly were very quiet. There was a chill in the air. We quickly decided to leave, as we were not meant to have walked further than the farmhouse, as it was private property. Later in the evening, I had trouble sleeping. I turned to look out the window, never liked to close the curtains fully as I was scared of the dark. I then heard some footsteps outside my bedroom door. thinking it was someone in my family, I tried to fall back asleep when I heard my door open, probably my little brother coming in to sleep in my bed, but no one entered the bedroom. I looked up at my door, saw my older brother standing at the entrance to my bedroom. I called his name, but he didn't answer. I told him to get out. He's scaring me, but he just smiled. I got out of bed, and that's when it disappeared. I say it as I don't know what who it was. I ran straight back to my bed and said a prayer. I must have been so scared that I didn't notice I had fallen asleep until I woke up in the morning. Nothing has happened to me since that day. What do you guys think? Sorry it's so long for such a small experience. I've recently become an EPP. Much love from England. What do you think of all that?
Well, if any place is going to be haunted, I mean, England's the place for it to happen. It's interesting. You always wonder as a child if you have a kind of creepy experience, if that somehow just parlays itself into your dreams at night, that whole thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, was this something mimicking her older brother? Did it come into the house to kind of basically tell her to stay away and never show up again? It's definitely an interesting story. And those old places are always the best.
What's interesting to me is the ones that were the old POW camps and things of that nature. What has been surprising to me is learning about all the places that were used as that I had no idea about growing up. Take, for example, in our hometown, the fairgrounds.
Yeah, you're right.
Many of the buildings, when we were kids and younger, that they would have like the craft shows or the flea markets on the weekend and such. A lot of them are all torn down now, but those were the original wood ones. Those were freaking POW buildings.
I mean, when you think about it, those places were all over the country in various locations.
Yeah.
And they would take the largest buildings they could find. Sometimes they were houses.
Yep.
Sometimes they were old hospitals, old schools, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The place where you could shove as many people in.
Yeah.
And when the war was over, then you repurposed it into something else, like a school or a hospital or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Ours turned into the goat barn, the cattle corral, and then the Knights of Columbus deep fried steak stand is essentially. And then on the weekends, you could go buy some flea market items in another one. But if you think of like the structure, I think back to some of those buildings, and some of them were really, I don't know. I remember there's like this one blue one that was close to where the current day main expo building is. And I remember that one, and that one had a lot of flea markets on when I was little, and it had a weird structure to it. It didn't strike me as like, I don't know, the rest of the buildings there. There was so many, when you think about it too, when you think back to like pictures of the war and camps and stuff. Oh, yes. The whole fairgrounds looked like a POW camp. But but we never knew it. Nobody talked about it. Like in local history, nothing ever said once. Ever.
Well, and you know this about generations before us. If you don't talk about it, it's not reality.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents taught me that growing up as much as I could possibly learn it. So
it
makes a lot of sense that we were just finding this stuff out now because people have actually done some research on it. You know?
I mean, it's like I tell my daughter like everything and probably far too much information where it's like, did you know the history of this and that? And oh my God. And then connected to that and she gets sick of it. But yeah, I mean, a lot of previous generations, it's just like, go play. And there's not a lot of, you know, hey, did you know this about that? And yeah, there's just so many interesting little tidbits that are, you know, kind of lost to time. I wonder if there's got to be pictures of that too, doesn't there? Like in local something at the library, maybe.
So I would say either the library or the historical society must have something on hand.
Yeah. I don't know. Next time I'm up there, I want to stop in and take a look. That's just interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. This one says, I guess you could say that I was introduced to the world of the occult at a very young age. It's always been a big part of my family's tradition coming from Iceland. Having this pretty much ingrained in me, I've become sort of obsessed with learning everything that I can about the occult and paranormal worlds. I even have a tattoo of a planchette on my right arm. To get to my story, when I was 19 years old, my girlfriend at the time and I were lying in bed. She's in my arms and I assumed that she was sleeping, but I was still awake at this point. The room was completely dark except for the light that seeped through the slats on the horizontal blinds from the street lamp outside. We were positioned facing this window. As I stared at the ceiling, I began to notice a shape. A shape that was blacker than the darkness of the room, forming in the top right corner of the ceiling above the window. This black mass began spreading like an ink blot, engulfing the walls, spreading over the blinds, blocking out the light that peered through the window and creeping towards us. A feeling of dread washed over me, and every hair on my body stood straight up, and my girlfriend, whom I assumed was sleeping the whole time, began to tremble. I asked if she saw this too, and she said yes. We watched silently as it slowly engulfed the rest of the window, the ceiling, and began creeping down the wall behind us to the bed. That was when we got out and ran downstairs. At the time, I was still living with my father, and needless to say, the energy in that house had always been pretty negative. We decided to leave, go to her house for the night. I never told my father about the mass, but I believe that it was a manifestation of all of the negative energy that had been building up there over the years. Why it chose to appear that particular night eludes me. I've lived in several cities, many homes and apartments since, and continue to see black masses, shadow people, on a semi-regular basis. This leads me to believe that it could be the same entity or entities. I've yet to figure out what they want or why they're following me. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I guess I'm just wondering if anyone else has had similar experiences and or knows what they want. Thoughts on that?
It's so weird because when people explain that they've seen shadow people or whatever, I think the one thing that we always like, we always think of a shadow so that like maybe it gets a little darker there. You can still see light through it, whatever. Mm-hmm. My experience with shadow figures and stuff is it is as black as night. And if there is light on the other side of whatever is there, it is completely gone. You cannot see through these things. And that's, it sounds like some sort of shadow figure, some sort of energy like this person was saying. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe this person has some sort of gift of some sort where wherever they go, they're going to be able to see these things that are just naturally around. But I also agree with them. I think that it probably does have something to do with the negative energy in that location from his father or whatever. I think that has a lot to do with it. I really believe that we can create these things in our lives, and we have a lot to do with it.
Are they conscious?
Well, I will say this. I don't think everyone is exactly the same. I do know that I've had experiences where they are conscious, where they are peering and looking at us. It seems like they're trying to hide from us, that kind of thing, or they literally run away when you chase them. So I think some of them may be conscious. Some of them may just be balls of energy, of negative energy that are kind of seeping around and moving around. I don't know.
That's interesting. When you talk about the shadow people and the color, black and just how dark it is, I've heard it described as like almost like a inconceivable black. Like this is the darkest black anyone, almost a void of light, if you will.
Yeah. I one of the investigations we were on was at a location. It was a very large location, kind of a pole building, and it had these big columns coming down, and this thing kept peeking out from behind the column. God. And there were lights behind it. And so you would think if it's a shadow, it might come out and kind of dim the lights. They were completely gone. And it was just so freaky how this thing would just pop out, look at us, we'd mention it, and it would pop back in.
That's creepy. Yeah. I got to play this for you. The other day I was doing an episode of the Grave Talks. And after doing, I don't know, I mean, I'm probably, you know, many, many thousands of shows in with all of these shows that we do. I've had never while I was recording, something happened that I noticed that I could not explain. I've had it show up on the tape and I didn't catch it. And then other people caught it. But it was just me being oblivious the first round of hearing it. This one, I was talking to a gentleman about Waverly Hills. And he grew up around there. He has a lot of personal stories. He met his wife at Waverly Hills, and he attributes it meeting her actually to this character named Sarah, who's a nurse on one of the floors, they believe. That's kind of what the lore is. And we talked for about 45 minutes, and this will be an episode of the Grave Talks. Or actually, by the time this airs, it's probably already out. You can look up the Grave Talks or if you download podcasts. And during the interview, only while he was talking about the Sarah character for about 5 minutes, there is unexplainable, it sounds like female kind of whooshing noises that play. I think it's probably like four or five of them in this 5 minute clip. I'm just going to play the clip. I'll make a note and maybe we'll kind of stop and play them back as we go through this. You got to hear this. I was just kind of shocked. Here we go.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to verify any of it through actual documents or anything, but the story makes a lot more sense.
Let me go back. I have the music playing.
Here we go. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to verify any of it through actual documents or anything, but the story makes a lot more sense.
Did you hear that right there?
Yeah, I did.
The
Yeah, it sounds like there's something at the beginning, kind of like a noise, and then the sound comes from it. And is there something at the very end of it too?
It just kind of dies down. It's a very just slow progression down, but it continues. And here in a moment, I actually stop him and I ask him if there's something like, what is he doing?
So let's fast forward to June 20th of 2019. I was hosting a private overnight and a lady had come with three of her daughters and several friends. And she was there for a private overnight. And I was giving the walk through the building. And I told the story right of room 502.
Did you hear that?
What was that?
Another one right there again.
Overnight. And I was giving the walk through the building. And I told the story of room 502.
Yeah, it was another one.
Oh, my. You know, I totally hear it. It's creepy as hell.
Yeah, it's very, very bizarre.
Two, as it's been told for years. About the nurse having the affair and hanging herself and all those things.
I want to ask you a quick question. Did you just have some sound playing by you a second ago?
No.
No.
Okay, oh. That was kind of weird. I've done probably more than 10,000 shows now. And I've only had one other show, and I didn't even catch it on the air at the time. Very weird sound comes across while someone is saying something. I'm just going to mark that because I want to go back and listen to it later. So if listeners heard that too. Anyway, that was interesting. Please continue. I normally do not interrupt, but that was weird. It was creepy sounding. It was like always like a whoosh, but it was almost like a crying type sound as you were talking about this nurse. And,
really?
And I thought, you know, is that, you know, just something in the background? Maybe it's like your ringtone or something. I don't know. It's a thousand things it could be. That was strange. Okay, we're going to go back and listen later. Continue on.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, I want to listen to that myself.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice. I was just sitting here rambling on.
Yeah.
But anyway, I tell the story that's been told for years about her having the affair and hanging herself and all those things. Mm-hmm. And then I said, but that story never made a lot of sense to me. For a lot of reasons, and I start explaining why it didn't make sense to me.
Another one was right there.
Yep.
And it's always when he's talking about this nurse character.
It almost sounds like wailing.
It does. And there's a female sound to it. I mean, that's what I'm picking up more than anything. It's like a wailing. It's like a quick echo of a wail or something. Like you're just catching it in the wind.
For a lot of reasons, and I start explaining why it didn't make sense to me. And then I told the story, what I always call Sarah's story, because mm-hmm. that's the name that she gave me. I told Sarah's story. And there's a lady that's in the group, the mother that I talked about, who's standing back there. She's just grinning at me and nodding her head like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, because, you know, I'd never seen her before. And as far as I knew, that was between me and Sarah, you know?
Sure.
And so anyway, after the tour was over, I kind of pulled her aside and I said, I noticed when I was telling Sarah's story that you seem to be in agreement or maybe even know some of it yourself. And she said, well, I've been coming here since 2009 and once, twice, sometimes three times a year. And I've always communicated with her too. And I've gotten the same story over the years. And
do you hear that one?
Yes.
This is messed up.
Like I'm hearing like,
yes, I know. I know. It almost sounds like too good to be real. But I was like, I'm sitting in here when I'm doing the interview. I'm like looking around, like, is a window open? Like my mic, I only have one mic on and it condenses the, like if I'm off the mic, it doesn't even pick me up.
Right.
So there's nothing that it would have been coming from.
And he's not hearing it.
He's not hearing it, but it's coming from his line. And so I isolated where it was coming from. It was not anything in our studio. It was coming from the line that he was through. This is all digital. There's nothing analog. I mean, so it's not like something interfering. I don't know.
And I've always communicated with her too. And I've gotten the same story over the years. And I was like, really? So her and I struck up conversation. We started talking and communicating a lot, mostly just about Sarah to start with. Mm-hmm. And then she was living in Hendersonville, Tennessee. I was here in Louisville, Kentucky. She would drive up and we would investigate together. We would go to cemeteries and try to find Sarah's grave or, you know, whatever. And eventually we wound up being married.
Okay.
It's all Sarah's fault. I always say that. But that's my wife, Denise, and her and I eventually started Pac-Man Paranormal. We started hosting a podcast. It was a pretty popular podcast on Paranormal Warehouse for a long time. And, we would tell Sarah's story on there from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have people from all over the world send us their own evidence that filled in some of the blanks on Sarah's story.
That was the last one right there.
Yep.
So that was weird.
Wow.
Yeah. I just sent you the audio too, so you can listen to it on your end. But never had anything like that ever. And it's just no music playing, nothing at all. Nothing. I don't know. And they sounded similar, but they were, if you listen to them individually, there's slight differences in each one.
Yeah. Do you remember, you know, that I used to do the sighing thing where there'd be, yes, a whistle in my throat.
That's 100% what it sounded like. Can you do it? Do you still do it?
I don't know if I can do it anymore, but that's what it reminds me of. I'm kind of lost it
there. Yeah, you used to do it really good, and then I started copying it, and I picked it up.
Yeah. Well, I could every one of those were crystal clear.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just baffled by it. And the thing is, again, like we talked for 45 minutes. That was the only time those sounds played was when he was talking about that Sarah character. So, I don't know.
See, that's the kind of stuff I love. I love people sending me pictures like this guy sent me. Yeah. I love hearing audio like that. Oh, it's just so good.
Yeah, it was amazing. Anyway, if you want to hear the full interview, go over to thegravetalks.com or just search The Grave Talks. Wherever you download podcasts, that episode is probably posted by now. If not, it will be very, very soon. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, check out ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get you access to all those bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more, and it's all ad-free. Binge away now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.